where we left off and ask the Lord to help us. As I said this morning, I'm looking to try to raise up a generation here in our church that knows something about victory. I mean, things is bad, and I hate to depress you tonight. They're going to get worse. But that don't mean we can't be more than conquerors and live in victory and live the victorious Christian life all the way to the trump of God sounds. I'll say some things this evening I think will be a challenge to you. And really, this message that we have, I don't know if we even finish it tonight, is going to be the start of several messages I want to preach on victory. And we're dealing with things in this hour and in this generation we better learn how to deal with. We're facing things we better learn how to deal with. And I'll deal with some of that. I'll preach on victory over the world. The world's killing a lot of church people and robbing them of victory. Victory over sin. The Bible has something to say about that. Victory over suffering. What do we do when suffering comes? How do we handle it as God's children? Victory over family trouble. It'll be one of the messages we preach. That's something these last days we're all dealing with, trying to raise families and children. And amen, days that husbands and wives don't get along. How do you work through that as a child of God? And some other messages. Victory over adversity. How do you handle it when the world treats you wrong? How do you handle it when adversity is brought into your life? Victory over depression. That's something that we're dealing with in our generation a lot. We're seeing it creep up in the church. I've dealt with it. I've had to learn how to get victory over it. And every year of my life, I've got to battle that because of things that have taken place in my life. You got to learn how to get victory over that. And we'll deal with some of that. Victory over a wounded spirit. Have you ever been hurt by somebody? Somebody do you wrong, mistreat you? There's a lot of people not living in victory tonight because they've let a wounded spirit hinder them living the life that God has saved them to live. But I believe you can rise above it. I believe through Jesus Christ, you can have victory over that. And I just want to encourage us in the weeks to come to live in that no matter come what may. But we got to learn that victory is in Jesus. And that's what we're dealing with today. Stand with me again as we read our verses this evening again. I'll not maybe take time to lay all the groundwork we did this morning, but you hear me well, and we'll get after it this evening. The Bible said, verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And that's as far as we made it this morning. But listen to these other verses. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You can be seated this evening. We'll pick up our thought on victory in Jesus. Romans 8, as I said this morning, is one of the pinnacle passages of all the Word of God. If you used to have one chapter in the book of Romans, I dare say Romans 8 would be a good one to have to your ownership this evening. And we're thankful for the truths that are contained therein. Verses 1 through 14 deal with the Spirit life of the believer, and how that, my friend, we're in a battle and in a warfare between the flesh and the spirit, and we've been saved and given the Holy Ghost, and we are to mortify the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh. Don't be carnally minded. Live in the spirit that God give you when you got saved. And Paul encourages you and I had to live in that spirit life at the constant battle that is between the flesh and the spirit. Verses 15 through 17, Paul deals with the sonship of the believer, the fact that we're saved, the fact that, my friend, we've been born again of the Spirit of God, that we have entered in not only through being born again, but by spiritual adoption. We are the children of God, the sons of God, and we cry, Abba, Father. And my friend, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. I'm glad tonight I belong in the family of God. I'm glad this evening, I'm glad tonight that, my friend, I'm a part of the sonship as a believer. I know who God is. He's my Father, and I get to be His son. Verses 18 down through verse 30, Paul deals with and explains the suffering of the believer, the fact that we're in this life and that we are suffering in this present time. Just living life brings trouble and hardship and suffering that we've got to deal with. And then when we come to verses we've read tonight, Paul begins to expound upon this suffering. In fact, if you'll bear with me for a moment, look with me in verse number 35. He said, shall tribulation. Amen. Listen, that's where we're at in this present time. Other Charlie, we face tribulation in this present time. He said, distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword is the things, my friend, he lists that we must deal with in this life. And by the way, it goes beyond that. As God's children, we're guaranteed that we're going to face suffering. The Bible said in verse 36, listen to this, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is a quote from Psalm 44. And in verse number 2, and Paul is stating, in quoting the Word of God, that as a child of God, as a believer, of the suffering that you face, our life is lived as sheep that are being continually slaughtered and killed every day. Amen. Listen, this Christian life is not always marked, my friend, by good times and by blessings. It's going to be marked, Paul said, it's going to be marked on a constant basis by the suffering that you and I have to endure and go through. Have you ever had times in life you thought, man, what I'm going through is killing me, it's slaughtering me, it is going to be my demise and my ruin and the death of me? That's what Paul is saying. The life that we're going to live as believers is going to be marked with suffering. I know that's discouraging and I know it's depressing. Can I get a witness right there? I don't like that thought tonight. I don't like that my Christian life is marked from one time of suffering to the next. Can I say this evening that Paul has in mind in these closing verses the victory and the spirit of victory that God intends for His children to live in the midst of the suffering they're going through? And so the question is in verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? What are we going to say about the suffering that we're going through? What are we going to say about the troubles of life that we face? What are we going to say about the burdens that we're called on to carry? And my friend Paul said in verse 37, in spite of the tribulation and the distress and the persecution and the famine and the nakedness and the peril and the sword, and in spite of the fact that we're killed as sheep going to slaughter every day, and that, my friend, we're accounted as these sheep that have been persecuted, he said, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And we focused in this morning on the word conquerors and how that it means to vanquish beyond, how that it deals with a spirit of victory. It means, literally means, to gain a decisive and surpassing victory. And in all the things that you and I face, God intends that you and I as believers and saved people, that, Brother Dean, we live in a state of victory, not just skating through life, not just enduring, not just hanging on for all that we're worth, that, man, friend, we live in the victory we were saved to live in. Amen. God intends, man, friend, for you and I to have victory. We dealt with the fact this morning that Webster said, a conqueror is one who subdues and brings into subjection or possession by force or by influence. In other words, it's somebody that's gaining ground, not losing ground. And somebody, my friend, that knows something about winning a battle every now and then, not losing everything, it sets itself against them. Can I say tonight? And there's a many of churches and a many of believers that they're not gaining ground, they're not moving forward, they're living in the past in some defeat, and looking, my friend, at all the circumstances that are set against them. And Paul said, it's time that you rise up above all that's thrown against you and understand that God, amen, wants you to gain ground, not lose ground, and live in a state of victory in the spirit of, my friend, victorious Christian living. And then, as we consider this, amen, we said this morning there's a many of God's children that are not tonight living in that spirit. They're living in defeat. They're dragging their tracks out. They've got the poochie lip disease. Amen. And if you stay around them long enough, my friend, they'll have you want to run your car off into a ditch. Amen. They act like everything's bad and nothing's good and everybody hates them and nobody loves them. And my friend, they live their life eating worms. Amen, acting like nothing's worth the living. Can I say tonight the fact that Valley said tonight, and she said it well, the fact tonight that God gave His Son and we're saved. Amen, He's all, my friend, far beyond anything that we're owed tonight. Amen, and so we might as well understand that suffering's going to come. God wants you and I to live, amen, a life that is excelling and moving forward and living it in victory. There's a many preachers tonight that are discouraged out of their mind. I know something about it. God expects for men of God to live in victory. God expects choir members to live in victory and to sing with victory and to worship God with victory. Are you listening to that? Amen. God expects church members in spite of anything you're going through tonight. Amen. It is the absolute perfect will of God that your life excel above the circumstances of life. I feel like preaching tonight. I'm telling you, we've got to learn. And my friend, there's a greater way and a greater level and a greater plane to live on and what we live on most days. I believe the child of God, when he goes to work, ought to go to work with Christian victory in his soul. Amen. The world don't need more poor mouthing Christians. Amen. It needs to see some people that have excelled above the circumstance. Amen. Friend, have a spirit of victory upon their leg. Amen. Listen, why in the world would lost people want what we've got? As sour faces some of y'all are tonight. Amen. Why in the world would sinners, amen, dare want what we've got? Many of them, amen, if you just compare that the way that sinners talk about their sin and the way they live that and the way children of God talk about how they live that, it ain't no wonder we don't see more folks saved than what we do. God has intended it, and saved folk display victory to a lost and dying world. I've quoted it before. Billy Mitchell said a woman come to him after a service one night and said, Brother Mitchell, when are more sinners going to get saved? And Billy Mitchell said, when more saved folk are getting saved about being saved, more sinners are getting saved. And I say there's something to that. There's something absolutely to that tonight. And when God's children get excited and live in victory and live a bad friend above the circumstance, amen, friend, it draws sinners, amen, to want what we have, amen, tonight, a spirit of victory, being a conqueror. Paul said, man, friend, don't just be a conqueror, that we've been called to be more than conquerors, amen, we're super conquerors,
Amen. We're to be more than just, we're to have more than just a spirit of victory. Amen. Friend, we're to live above and beyond it. Even what an old soldier would do after he's gone in and won the battle. I told you that we're more than conquerors. Because our victory doesn't come when all is said and done. We're not, my friend, waiting to win the war. A war was won at Calvary. The war was won at an empty tomb, and we have victory in that, amen, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be more than conquerors, amen, and cause our victory comes in the midst of suffering. Anybody can have victory when all the bills are paid. Amen. Look on up in here. Anybody can shout the victory and sing out like you're supposed to sing it. Raise your hand like the Bible says for us to do. Amen. Anybody can have a fit when everything's going well. Amen. Listen, that's just being a conqueror. Are you listening? Amen. Being more than a conqueror means. Amen. I've got problems in my family, but I'm going to rise above it. And in the midst of it, I'm still going to live in victory. Amen. More than a conqueror means that the bills are piled high on the table. I don't let that get me down. I don't let it rob me of my victory. Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And so tonight we're dealing with the thought on victory in Jesus. Amen. Notice that Paul describes his victory and where it is rooted in, or who it is rooted in. And we noted this morning, it's not rooted in my power, it's not rooted in my possession, it's not rooted in my personality, it's not rooted in my partnership, it's not rooted in my prestige. Paul said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. Amen. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ and our position in Him and Him in us and His example that He left for you and we're able to have this victory. Amen, amen. You put your faith and your Christian life in anybody other than Him, and you're going to be sadly disappointed. Amen. You don't put it in your daddy. I don't care how great he is. You don't put it in your daddy. You don't put it in your mama. You don't put it in your pastor. You don't put it in your church. You don't put it in your best friend. Amen. All these people are going to let you down. And my friend, they're going to fail you. They're not going to do right all the time. Can I say there's one in glory? And the Lord Jesus Christ is a constant example and a faithful friend and one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the one that we find to be the source of our victory. Amen. Notice we began this morning the proof of Christian victory in Jesus. We said that Paul, we believe in verse 31, 32, and 33 gives you at least three truths here to prove the possibility of the believer's victory. You say, preacher, you just don't understand how bad things are at home. You don't understand how bad things are in my mind and in my life and in my body and in my health and in my finances and in my spiritual life. And can I say tonight that Paul is arguing the fact through some rhetorical questions and some dogmatic statements that I believe are tied in. Amen. Today in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him. And Brother Dean, are the proof that a Christian victory is possible in every circumstance. And listen, that fact being true, and I'll deal with it in a moment, that fact being true, if I'm not living in victory, am I, friend, it's not God's fault. It's not my church's fault. It's not my pastor's fault. It's not my friend's fault. It's my fault if I'm not living in victory. We noted the first proof that Paul gives for the possibility of Christian victory is the proof of my friend God's strength. It is proven that God's strength. In verse 31, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? In fact, the fact of the matter here is that Paul is arguing, and if God is behind you and backing you, and God stands on your behalf, and my friend, victory is just going to come. And there's nothing that can bring you down. There's nothing that can destroy you. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm glad tonight it's not rooted in my strength, but I'm glad that Christian victory is possible. My friend, and it's proven, the possibility of it is proven through God's strength. And we give you some examples of that this morning. Let me hasten on and say that Christian victory is proven in verse 32 by God's sacrifice. Oh, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." I like that. Can I pause there and say that Christ died for all? He didn't die, amen, for a chosen few. He didn't die, my friend, for a special elected crowd. Paul said that he died for us all. Hey, friend, that means you and that means me. And that means my children and your children. Hallelujah. I'm glad God delivered his son and let him go to Calvary for us all. Young lady, that means he gave his son. Amen for you, and he gave him for you, son, and he gave him for my family, and he gave him to the world that the world might be saved. Bible said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." Now that is a statement of fact that God sacrificed and gave up his own son. He spared nothing to bring salvation to lost mankind, and it cost God his very darling only begotten son. Notice with me what Paul argues here in light of the sacrifice that God has made. He said, "How shall he not with him," that is Christ, "how shall he," the Father, "not with him," Christ, "his son also freely give us all things?" The argument here is this, hang with me. The argument is this, Brother Mac, that God in Calvary and at the cross has gave his own son. He held nothing back, but he gave everything. Amen. He paid the ultimate price that mankind might be able to be saved. And now that I'm saved, I can look back at the cross and look back to Calvary, understanding that God gave it all then. God sacrificed it all then. There's nothing that God won't, through Christ, give to me in my Christian life. And I say to that, you say, "I just don't know if God will help me live in victory." My friend, thanks to Calvary, you're saved. Thanks to Calvary and God giving it all. Amen. We're saved tonight. And we know something of the grace of God tonight. And can I say, now that I'm saved, I look at Calvary and I understand that God, if he had to, would bankrupt heaven and I might live in victory. And I can live the life that he's intended for me to have. Amen. God knows something about sacrifice, and through Christ and the sacrifice he made at Calvary, now we learn that God will not withhold what his children need. Does that make sense? So I just don't know. We'll look back at Calvary and understand God gave, and when God gives it all. We hold back. Amen. That's why we don't have, amen, and don't get mad at me, but that's why we don't have services all the time like we had last Sunday night, because we hold back. We don't give it all. We come in half-hearted. We come in giving some, but not giving all. But you know what I'm thankful for? At God sitting on the edge of his throne in glory, just waiting to pour out what you and I need tonight, to give us what we need to have victory in this present world. God's strength proves to me that victory is possible. God's sacrifice proves to me that victory is possible. God's salvation proves to me that victory is possible. Notice what Paul said in verse number 33. But then this is good right here. Notice what he said. He's going to give another question. He said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" And he makes a statement, "It is God that justifies." It's God that does the saving. It's God that reached further down than you can reach up. It was God that met you in your road of sin. It was God that met you when you was a dopehead and a drunkard and a whoremonger and a harlot. It was God that reached down, and God that reached down and pulled you up and saved and justified your life. Now here's the argument I think Paul is making in light of these statements and this revealing of the victory that we're to have. If God could reach down and bring victory to you in saving your soul, how much greater can God, now that you are saved, bring victory to your daily life? You say, I just don't know how I'm going to live in victory. I tell you, hey, you know you're going to live in victory. You look back to a time when you was lost and undone on the road to hell, getting there as quick as you could. A way of a transgressor you was living was hard. Amen. But along that way, God met you at a crossroads somewhere. Amen. And you said, I'll go with God. And God said, I'll go with you. Amen. And a sinner and a Savior got together, and salvation was experienced. Amen. That's how you know you can have victory in this hour. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. If you're saved, you ought to have victory. You ought to quit having the mully grubs. It's been said a couple of times tonight in testimony about pity parties. You ever had a pity party? Amen. You know what a pity party is? That's you just sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like how I was treated. I don't like how I was done. I don't like how they're acting. I don't like this, and I don't like that. That's a pity party. Amen. I'm not picking on you. I've had one or two. Amen. Everything ain't always been roses in my life. These days I've sat around and thought, dear God, I can't believe that things are this way. Can I remind you tonight, our worst day, amen, as a child of God, is far better than our best day when we was in sin. The fact that we're saved tonight, Paul is arguing that you're justified and you're saved. And if God can save you, and God knows how to give you victory, shame on us. Amen. I'm just being honest in that. I know, man, we don't like to hear it. Shame on us. Shame on us. I just want to thank the Lord I'm saved and all, but when you say but, you're in defeat. I'm glad I'm saved, but y'all pray for me and everything. Everything's real hard. I mean, and thank God we don't have a big problem with it around here. And I'm thankful in some churches you call for testimonies, they'll spend about 5 seconds being glad they're saved and about 5 minutes talking about everything going wrong in their life. Shame on us. Shame on us. Testimony time. Listen, there's a place for bearing one another's burdens. There's a place for giving prayer requests. Can I preach right here? There's a place, my friend, for a man taking them burdens and asking folk to help us bear it in prayer and in other means. But my friend, that ain't in testimony time. Testimony time's about Him. Testimony time's about what He did for us. Testimony time's about bragging on His goodness and His mercy and His grace and His loving kindness. Said, amen. Don't tell me how bad it is. Tell me about the difference that He made in your life. Amen. There's some folk, man, you just, and I've learned being a pastor, there's some folk you learn, don't ask them how they're doing. Don't ask them how their week was. Don't go there. And there's been times, Brother Tim, before I knew it, it come out of my mouth. And I knew it as it was coming out. I'm thinking, oh no, that better you just messed up. Because they're going to tell you about their baldness and their bell tones and their bulges and their bunions and their burdens and their blisters. How's that for an outline? They're going to tell you about it all. My friend, what they're saying is, I don't have no victory. Then there's that other crowd, man, you want to ask them how they're doing, and you already know what they've been through because they, amen, you just know what the story is, but you want to ask them because you know they've been through a rough week, but they're still going to say, boy, I'm a getting through, but God has been so good to me. I'm still saved by the grace of God. Thank God it ain't as bad as it could be if I didn't have the Lord in my life. Amen. What am I saying in that? I'm saying the salvation that God gave you and me is proof of the possibility that we can have victory. Amen. Can I preach on? The proof here, my friend, of Christian victory. But notice the power for Christian victory tonight. This man, this is where it gets kind of good now. Y'all hang on. Notice with me, verse 34, he said, who is he that condemneth? And he's asking a question, why in the world are you so discouraged? Why in the world are you so weighed down? Why is there so much doubt and discouragement? Amen. Who is he that condemneth thee? And notice with me that Paul continues his thought of Christian victory. I want to say again, it must be driven deep in our hearts that Christian victory can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul runs us immediately. Every time he brings a statement up, he's running us back to the Lord. He's taking us back to the only one that can do this spiritual work of victory in our life. Notice with me again our text verse. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him. Not through you, not through the ability and the power that you have, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul in verse 34, down through this evening, down through verse 37, he's going to give you and have, amen, some truth about the Lord that is the backing power in the Christian life that gives you and have victory. Number one, notice, amen, listen, number one, the power of His life is the power for Christian victory. Notice what the Bible said. God, help me to get this out. He said, it is Christ that died. Guess what? The Lord knows how you feel tonight. He's been where you are. He suffered how you suffer. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, Paul said. In other words, He knows what it is to suffer, and He knows what it is to suffer to the point that He is dead and His life has been taken. He knows. It is Christ who died. That's a statement we need to get a hold of and understand. And as alone as I may feel, and as much as I may feel, that nobody understands what I'm going through, that Christ has been there. He's walked where I walk. He's faced what I face from the wheel. He knows where I am. It is Christ that died. But watch this. Notice what the Bible said, verse number, where am I at? Lord, have mercy, 34. It is Christ that died. But there ain't no period there. There's no, listen, Paul said in Ephesians 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who from the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. He endured the suffering. He faced it, and He did so with a spirit of victory that gave Him joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yea, rather, that is risen. Did He suffer and did He die? Did that crowd put Him to death? You better believe they did. But He did it. He didn't lay there in a tomb, amen, and succumb to the circumstance. He learned, amen, by His power, He got up and was raised and lives in victory. You just don't understand how people have treated me. Listen, if anybody's been treated wrong, the Lord has. And Paul makes an emphatic statement. It is Christ that died. They put Him to death. He suffered in that death. He thirsted in that death. He gave up the ghost and He died. But Brother L., He didn't stay there. He didn't roll over and stay in the grave. He didn't roll over and let the death settle in and bind him and burden him. But rather, by the power of God and the Holy Ghost, he raised above, amen, the death and the suffering that he went through. That there are church members and pastors that, my friend, have gotten to the place where they've been through things and done things, they just die. But that ain't the will of God. You mark it down and you listen to me well. It is not the will of God that we stay there. It's the will of God that we tap in to that source of the power of His life. That's why the Apostle Paul said, hallelujah, in Philippians chapter number 3, Jordan, if I run, you finish preaching, man. That's why he said that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection. You know what Paul is saying? I want to get to the place in my life where the suffering and the things that I feel like have brought death in my life. And I know something about the same kind of power that raised him from the dead. And I can live in the victory that he has today. The power of his life. The power of his life, me living in the power of his resurrection, that when things come against me and bring some sort of death in my life, I don't stay there. Amen. Where I revive rather than respond.
Amen.
Amen. Where I raise up above it rather than get down in the mouth and talk about how bad everything Amen. Is. Man, I'm so sick of preachers talking about how bad the ministry is. Guess what? It's always been bad. Paul said to young Timothy, you know what I went through. They beat me, threw me in jail, mistreated me, talked about me, run me down the road. And yet Paul, at the end of his ministry, said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He wrote to young Timothy, he said, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's a good work. Amen. I'm not bringing preachers in that want to run down the ministry. I know it's hard. Listen, there is a victory we're to live in through the power and the life of the Lord Jesus. I'm tired of hearing church members talking about how bad things are. Amen. Well, you just don't understand. You just don't get it. You just don't know. Hey, why don't you grow up in the faith and be spiritual enough to follow the example the Lord set that when you suffer and when you got to endure things that you got to carry, that even when it kills you, you raise up above it. The power of His life. Am I making sense? I feel like God's trying to help us tonight. If it ain't helping you, Will, it's helping me. I want to get the place I can live in the power of His life where things don't bind me down and hold me in some tomb in some hole and in darkness. I want to be able to live in the power of His life.
Amen.
That's how you get in the power of Christian victory in Jesus. It's going to be through following the example of the power of His life. In fact, it is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, the power of His life. What's this? He didn't quit serving.
Amen.
Well, things are just too bad. I ain't going to serve no more. I'm going to give up all my ministry, and I'm going to give up teaching a Sunday school class and singing in the choir, and I'm going to give up serving around the church. That ain't what the Lord did. Did He suffer? Did He endure the cross? You better believe it. I'm going to preach 5 hours tonight. Did He suffer? Did He die? You better believe it. But he had resurrection power. It raised Him from the dead. And He can minister and serve in spite of the suffering He had been through.
Amen.
You might as well say amen. I'm preaching where we're living now. I'm preaching where we're living in this last generation. There's people discouraged outside of the realm of victory. And the reason we are, we do not live in the power of His life. I'm having a hard time kicking off this, Dean. Power of His life. Resurrection power. Listen, your victory. If you don't have victory today, it's your own fault. He's give you everything you need through resurrection power of the Holy Spirit and His resurrected life to live in victory. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Jeff. Y'all gonna make me do my own shouting tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, the power of his life's amazing. Oh, to God, there'd be a revival in Calvary Baptist Tabernacle tonight that would say, I don't care what comes my way. I'm going to do my best through the power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the life of Christ, and when I'm dead, I can raise up above it and live in the victory that he saved me to live in. Amen. The power of his lordship. Notice what the Bible said when he got up. That's the power of his life. He's risen. Amen. Y'all okay now? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen. Watch it now. Who is even at the right hand of God? You know what Paul is reminding the believer of in this verse as it relates to our victory? Is that you've got to get your eyes off of the load and get it on the power of his lordship. You're going to suffer. Mark it down. You're going to suffer. Paul is getting our eyes off of the worldly and into the heavenly and says, hey, the one that died and got up, he's still sitting on the throne. And I say tonight, when we lose victory, we lose sight of the fact that he's on the throne. Isaiah said, you know it well, Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. You know, old Isaiah and Uzziah, my friend, they were buddies and friends. Amen. And they got along well. And when he died, it affected Isaiah. Amen. Now his king is not around. Now the one that he's invested himself in and served is not around. He's discouraged and depressed. But what did God do to Isaiah? He got him to get his ass off a graveyard and get his eyes off a bad situation and get his eyes up and lift into the faith that God is still the Lord. He's still on the throne. And the fact that he's still on the throne means I'm feeling good in the Lord. Sister Lori, I ought to raise above the circumstance. Shame on us again for looking at all the problems and looking at all the... we got to deal with the problems. I'm not talking about ignoring the problems, but I'm talking about the net. Amen. Understand that through it all, he still sits at the right hand of God. I have tried over the last, I guess consciously since my own breakdown and depression, bout of depression that I went through, I've tried to get to the place that I only worry about the things that he worries about. I've tried to get to the place, Brother A.L., that I only get nervous about the things he gets nervous about. The things that bother him, I let them bother me. But until then, I'm trying to live in the power of his lordship and understand I may not understand it all, but he's still the Lord. Amen. He's in charge and he's in control. He knows where I am. He sits in heaven at the right hand of God and he's watching it all. Amen. There's nothing that my friend has come into my life and he doesn't know it, that he probably hadn't even ordained. Amen. Has ordained in my life to be the way it is, and he knows where I am, and he's looking for me to look up or not downward. Amen. Quit looking down and look up. The Lord is still on the throne. The power of his life and the power of his lordship. We get victory today through the position and prayer of Christ as Lord. In his lordship, he don't just sit there twiddling his thumbs. You will make me good and mad. You refer to my Savior and my Lord as the old man upstairs. He ain't the old man upstairs. He ain't some old grandpa looking man with long white hair and a long white beard, biting his fingernails with the bottom of Valium pills. Amen. On the throne of heaven, my friend. Amen. He's the darling son of God. Amen. And he sits there. And when I'm suffering, and when I don't know what I'm going to do, he begins to look on and in his position. And God, he's an ears whisper away from the Father. And Paul said, he's sitting there, he's making intercession for you. When I'm suffering and I don't know where victory's going to come from, and God is my Lord, sits in glory. He's my friend praying for me. He's begging the Father to give me what I need so I can make it. Hallelujah. John 17, the high priestly prayer of the Lord reminds me that He's praying for me. Betty, however bad it gets, amen, your pastor may forget to pray for you and your church may forget to pray for you. And bless His holy name. There's one in glory who sits His Lord and is there and He's making intercession and pleading that the Father would give us what we need.
Amen.
Praise His name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You say, I don't know how I've made it this far, but you've made it this far. Can I tell you how you made it? There's one in, hallelujah, there's one in glory. Amen, that reigns and sits His Lord and prays for you every day and begs the Father to help you through every trial. Amen, who's there through it all. He never slumbers and He never sleeps, and His eyes is never closed and His ear is never shut. Thank God, His prayers are never unheard. Amen, you have one, and His Lord is there for you.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Amen. Glory to God. The name of Ronnie, He's there, and He's always been there. Amen. There's times, amen, I'm feeling a breeze from another world. Amen. There's been times in the shadows I couldn't find Him. Amen, but I'm glad when all the clouds roll out of the way, He's still on the throne. He's still there. Prayers are still being prayed. Amen, and I've made it through the storm because He is Lord. Bless His name. Shame on us. Acting like we can't make it. And the Heavenly Father's up there saying, God, help them. God, help them. God, see you little youngin' down there. I saved him by my blood and saved him by my grace. He's been to Calvary and been set free and he needs some help. I just don't know if I'm going to make it. Well, you've made it this far and you didn't make it in your own power, you old pouty mouth. You've made it this far and you've griped and grumbled the whole way, and you ain't made it cause you're something. You made it cause He's something. You made it cause He's there the whole time. Every fiery dart the devil aimed to bring you down, He was there as Lord saying, God, put the heads up. Amen. Every time that the devil had some design to bring you down in the feet show, you've made it another mile down the road because He's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord.
Amen.
I ain't debating it with nobody tonight. He's Lord, period. He's Lord of the church. This ain't my church, it's His church. You lose your marbles tonight and go crazy, amen, I'm just going to rest in the Lord tonight and trust He knows what's going on. Amen, He's Lord over my family. He's been days my family didn't know what was going to do. And we're here tonight and we're still singing and we're still preaching and we're still shouting, not because we're anything, but He is Lord. He's Lord of my life.
Yes, sir, He is.
They've been a lot of days my wife and youngins is doing good and I wasn't doing so good. Here I am still a preaching tonight, trying, brother, to be a blessing, trying to help somebody along the way.
Amen.
Amen. It ain't in my own power. There's been one greater than me. Amen. There's one that's in control when I'm out of control. There's one that's settled in right in His position when I ain't. Amen. And He has brought me safe as far in victory through the power of His Lordship. The power of His life. The power of His Lordship. I want to quit and go eat, but I don't want to quit. Notice the power. Y'all said preach on, so we'll preach on. The power of His love. My friend, is the power of Christian victory in Jesus. Paul comes down to it and says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of God in Christ Jesus. He comes down into our text verse in verse 37 and he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Why did Paul say that? Because when you're suffering and hurting, you begin to wonder, does he love me? Look on up in here. You can take your halo down. I see your budding horns. Oh, not me. I've never doubted that he loved me. Will you pray for everybody else in the building? There's been times in suffering I wonder, does he love me? Does he care? Does he understand? And Paul brings the child of God back to that all-important truth that no matter come what may, no matter what we do, no matter where we are, the Lord God loves you and I. And his love is a source of victory. You begin to doubt whether he loves you or not. And I'll tell you tonight, it won't be 5 minutes till you're defeated and outside of the realms of victory. And so he asked the question. He asked the question here. He says in verse number 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" It's tribulation. Is it going to take tribulation to knock us out? He said, is it going to take distress? Is it through persecution? Is it through famine? Is it through nakedness? Is it through peril? Or is it through sword? And Paul's answer in verse 37 is no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Can I tell you how you tap in the power of Christian victory? When you're suffering beyond measure, get as close as you can to the truth that God loves you. But if he loves me, why am I hurting? That's the question of the human ages. Why do people that love God and people that God loves, why do they suffer? There ain't no answer. It's just life. You ain't alone, Brother Chris. Thank God, Brother Jordan, you ain't alone. We all suffer. We all face these things. But through it all, guess what? We're loved.
Amen.
It's the power of the one that loved us. You remember John 13 and verse number 1? Turn over there. Turn over there, man. I'm feeling like preaching right now. John 13. Notice this. I love this verse. The Lord's getting ready to have the Last Supper with the disciples. And he sent them there and he's getting ready to have this feast of Passover. Verse 1, John 13, 1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world," I love this, "he loved them unto the end." Amen. And I don't want to get so technical tonight, but they say that the phrase, "he loved them unto the end," at the idea of that is that he loved them to the end and beyond. He's getting ready to go to the Father. And Brother Mark, he's getting ready to leave them. They're going to be left in this world. They're going to face things they've never faced before. They're going to face disappointment. The one they thought was going to take over and be king is going to die and be put in a tomb and be raised again and ascend and lead the earth that they thought he came to rule and reign over. They're going to face opposition from the world. And he tells them in John 15 that marvel not that the world hates you. They hated me and they're going to hate you. They're getting ready to face some things, but John the Beloved sat down and the Holy Ghost said, "Hey, John, put down right there that he loved them. He loved his own that were in the world. It's so rotten world they live in. It's so world that despises them. It's so world that, my friend, is characterized as suffering and hurt and pain. And the Lord loved them in this world. And then he didn't just love them in the world, but he loved them to the end of the world. He's going to love them to the end of it all. When the sun melts the world with a fervent hate, ain't God the Lord still going to love his own? And where's victory? We can have the power of Christian victory in Jesus through the power of his love. You're loved tonight. Catherine, you're loved tonight, young lady. by more than a boyfriend and more than a mama back there and more than anybody in this world could love you. Tori, you're loved tonight by the darling Son of God. Hallelujah. Does that not stir you and make you want to swing out over hell on a rotten sketty noodle? Amen. And stick your tongue out at the devil and go, blah, 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 blah. Ain't nothing he can do. Nothing we face can separate us from the truth that God loves you and I. Hallelujah. The proof of Christian victory in Jesus. The power of Christian victory in Jesus. Y'all want me to stop? Well, I lost a few from the last time I asked that. I'll not preach it all. I'll give it to you Wednesday night. There's the persuasion of Christian victory. Notice what Paul said. And this is where it all comes down. Because you've shouted on the proof. And you've shouted on the power. But look on up here. I'm not being mean. Few of y'all's living in it. You know why? You're shouting on the truth, but you're not really persuaded in your heart. I'm not being mean tonight. I'm being honest with you. It's true of you as it is me. Because Paul said, I'm going to wrap it all up now. Paul said, I'm wrapping it all up. For I am persuaded. Until you get persuaded in your Christian life that you can have victory in Him, you'll never have it. The problem ain't the proof and the problem ain't the power. The problem, Brother A.L., is the persuasion. We're not really persuaded that we can have it. That's all I'm going to say right there. Let's all stand. Father, thank You tonight for the Word of God. Help us tonight. Lord, You've given us so many things to prove that we can have victory. Lord, You have provided a power through the Lord Jesus Christ in His life, in His lordship, and in His love. God, we ain't preached it tonight, but I pray that just the truth of it would get us where Paul was, that we'd get on this altar tonight, cry aloud in prayer, I am persuaded. Lord, leave here tonight living in victory. Lord, I don't want to sound condescending to my church. Lord, I don't want to hurt nobody. Lord, the fact of the matter is, I look around in my generation, Lord, there's very few living on a consistent daily basis. The truths of the proofs and the power, God, we're not as persuaded as we think we to be. Father, I pray that You'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. No one's looking around, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I want you to mind the Lord tonight. These one or two have come, and others coming. Would there be another? Be honest about it tonight. Say, boy, I need to get in that realm of living in Christian victory. How much victory do you have tonight? Is your life marked and characterized by just making it, barely hanging on, barely skimming through? Or do you have something that's alive and powerful enough tonight? Is there decisive and surpassing victories that are won in your daily Christian life? Don't leave here at the mully grubs. Don't leave here hanging on to how you've been mistreated. Don't leave here tonight with your eye focused in on the suffering. Get your eye on the power of His life. Understand the power of His lordship. Understand tonight the power of His love. He loves you. The devil's a liar. God does love you. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. It's available. It's available for you to have this evening.